Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor's Study. The Bible teaches there's one place for sexual intercourse, and that is within marriage. And if you're having sex outside of marriage, you're sinning. And it's not a small sin. 1 Corinthians 6 says fornicators don't go to heaven. And in this day and age, I've got to define marriage. Marriage is not one man and five women like this awful sisters TV show where they're talking about this cult where a guy has five wives. Marriage is not a man and a man. According to the Bible, marriage is between a man and a woman, and sexual intercourse needs to be within that. Now, maybe you're watching the show and you're promiscuous. You're having sex outside of marriage, or maybe your daughter or grandson is living in sin. The question for this show, how does Jesus deal with a promiscuous person? Well, we have a fine example of how He did just that. Would you open your Bible to John chapter 4, the story of the woman at the well? Let's learn how Jesus dealt with promiscuity. John chapter 4, and let's pray first. Father, we pray for anyone watching this show that is living in any kind of sexual sin, that somehow by your Holy Spirit you would bring them to repentance and help them put that right, and may they come to true faith in Christ. Lord, speak to us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. There came a woman of Samaria, that's in a region north of Jerusalem, to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." The first lesson I want you to learn today is Jesus will talk to anybody. This woman has three strikes against her. Number one, she's a woman. And rabbis back then, the word rabbi means teacher. Jesus was a rabbi. Rabbis did not talk to women in public because it looked bad. So strike number one, she's a woman. Strike number two, she's a Samaritan. The Samaritans are kind of a cult. They don't believe like the Jews do. They only believe in the first five books of the Old Testament. They worship on the wrong mountain. So theologically, she's messed up. And then the third big strike against her, she's promiscuous. But what I want you to learn is if you're morally messed up, if you're theologically messed up, Jesus will talk to anybody. I mean, I had a lady at the church once, Pastor Brock, the Jehovah's Witnesses came to my door and I slammed the door in their face and she thought she was doing a good thing. No. I can talk to anybody. I mean, when the Mormons, and I think Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses are not Christian religions, when they come to my door, I invite them in. I mean, I did this once. I think we went at it for 3 hours. I was polite, but Jesus will talk to anybody. Will you talk to anybody? When I hear of two people in church that won't talk to each other anymore, that kind of stinks. Jesus will talk to anybody. Let's look at verse 13. Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water, the well, shall thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." Here's the next lesson. Jesus alone quenches thirst. This woman is going from man to man to man, thinking that's going to quench your thirst. It didn't work. So let me ask you, what are you using these days to quench your thirst? Are you a shopaholic, a workaholic, an alcoholic, a sexaholic, a hobbyaholic, a sportsaholic, a TVaholic, or an internet-aholic? I mean, people are just bound to this thing. I have to pray about it. Lord, help me not spend too much time on this stuff. But my question is, where are you going to get your thirst quenched? And Christians, remember, Jesus is the only one who quenches thirst. So I hope you go to Jesus every day, that you pray to him every day, read your Bible every day, you're in Christian fellowship at church every week, that you found some service to do to serve the Lord, because Jesus alone quenches thirst. So I got on the airplane. I had preached somewhere and I had my collar on, and I prayed, Lord, if it's your will, put me next to someone to share the gospel. I sit down, and I'm surrounded by two groups. One is a group of young men coming back from Mardi Gras in New Orleans, and the group I happened to sit in was a group of young women, and they clicked. And the young woman sitting next to me, just because I had this on, I'm guessing, just turned her back to me the whole time. And this was a rowdy bunch. I mean, one of them was using obscene language about Jesus. And, you know, it became very clear. These people were very thirsty and had no idea how to quench their thirst. Christian, never forget, you've got the most important thing in the universe to quench your thirst. His name is Christ. Let's look at verse 16. Jesus said to the woman, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered, "Sir, I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have said well, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. This you have said truly." Here's the next lesson. Jesus gets right to our sin. You know, I've had people say, you know, you need to develop a good relationship with a person, and after you've developed a good relationship, then you can share the gospel with them. I don't believe that. I think Jesus shared himself with this woman in the first 5 minutes. I think that's okay to do. I mean, I've told this story, but I always pray before I get on the airplane. So years ago, I'm flying to Cancun, and I sit down, I pray my prayer, and here at the window is a young man. Next to him is his young woman girlfriend and me on seat number 3. Plane takes off. I notice they didn't have wedding rings on. And the young woman and I start talking, and she finds out I'm a pastor, and I think she got a little nervous. And we're having a good talk, but I'm trying to somehow work God into the conversation, and it isn't happening. And I think I prayed under my breath, Lord, somehow make this come up. Well, after a while, we didn't talk for a while, we were just looking at magazines or whatever. She turns to me and out of the blue says, "Well, Pastor, what do you think about all this premarital sex going on in America?" I thought, well, there's a door. And I said, "Well, the Bible says fornication is a sin, and you need to repent of that and trust Christ, or you're not going to heaven." She pulls her boyfriend's arm and says to me, "Now you repeat that. I want him to hear this." So I said it again, and I don't think he appreciated it. And he turned back and looked out the window. She and I had a long, deep talk about repentance from sin, faith in Christ for our salvation and forgiveness. And before the plane landed, she said to me, "My Catholic mother prayed that I would not come on this trip. She begged me not to come on this trip. I think her prayers put you in that seat." My point is, I could have waited 3 weeks, I suppose, to bring up Christ, but I'd never have seen her again. I think it's okay as long as you're humble about it. I think it's fine to talk to somebody you've known for 5 minutes about the gospel. Jesus does that at the woman at the well. All right. And you know, I want to say this too. The reason Jesus brings up this woman's sin is not because he's being judgmental. He's not being ornery. He knows this sin is killing this woman, and so he wants to give her life, so he brings it up. And you know, every time, Christian, we get tempted, we need to remind ourselves, my sin is trying to kill me. Jesus is giving me life. Look at verse 19. John chapter 4, verse 19. The woman said to Jesus, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers, the Samaritans, worship in this mountain up here in Samaria. And you people say, you Jews say, that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain in Samaria or in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. You Samaritans worship that which you do not know. We, the Jews, worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming when now, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Here's the next lesson. Jesus wants real religion, Jesus wants real worship, not religion. I mean, so here's what's happening. Jesus brings up this woman's sin, and she doesn't want to talk about it, so she switches the subject. Well, tell me, should we be worshiping up here in Samaria or down in Jerusalem? And Jesus basically says, you know, the Jews in Jerusalem and the Samaritans in Samaria, neither ultimately are going to be worshiping the true God because they're going to reject me. So the point is, Jesus doesn't want religion. He wants true worship. So here's my point. I'm a Lutheran, but I'm not real Lutheran. I hope you're not too Lutheran. You know, I won't name it, but there's one smaller Lutheran denomination. There's a number of Lutheran denominations. There's one branch. If you're not a member of their specific denomination, you're not supposed to pray with anybody else. No, you can't even pray with another Lutheran. I mean, they won't pray with Baptists. They won't, I mean, and where's that in the Bible? I mean, if someone is a brother and sister in Christ, I can pray with evangelicals, Baptists, Methodists, whatever. You know, God wants true worship of himself with other Christians. Don't be too Episcopalian. All right, verse 28. So the woman left her water pot and went into the city and said to the men, Come, see a man who told me all the things that I have ever done. This is not the Christ, is it? And they went out of the city and they were coming to Jesus. Here's the next lesson. Jesus uses women. I mean, this woman goes out and evangelizes her village. Now, if you read 1 Timothy chapter 2, it does say women are not to preach over adult men and they're not to be ruling in the church. That's for men. But here this woman is sharing the gospel with these people, and it's a good thing. So how do we put that together? Well, here's the way I understand Scripture. Yes, because Jesus chose 12 male apostles. He didn't choose 6 men and 6 women. Jesus chose 12 male apostles because they are to lead his church. And in 1 Timothy 2, yes, men are to be the preachers over the adult men of the church. Women can teach women. Women can teach children. But for the church, which includes adult men, men should be doing that. That said, women can do pretty much everything else. And here it's happening. Women are the ones that have been the backbone of the church for 2,000 years. I mean, I don't know that I'd be a Christian today if it wasn't for my grandma Losky praying for me when I was a kid. So my main point is, though, if you're a woman, God wants to use you to evangelize others. Look at verse 39. And from that city, many of the Samaritans believed in Jesus because of the word of the woman who testified, He told me all the things that I have ever done. Here's the next lesson. Jesus uses messed up people. This woman is messed up. God uses her anyway. If you've messed up morally, maybe you had sex outside of marriage or whatever, God can still use you. On this program years ago, we interviewed a woman who was a prostitute. And now she's a Christian woman using her ministry to bring people out of prostitution to Christ. So if you've really blown it morally, God can still use you. I mean, there are weeks I kind of think to myself, who am I to get on TV and tell them how to live, you know, because I'm a mess. But, you know, we're all a mess. I know a lot of pastors. They're all a mess. Some pastors have huge egos. And, you know, don't do this. Don't go to church and think,
oh, there's all these wonderful Christian people, and oh, there's the pastor, he's such a wonderful Christian, and then there's me. No, no, everybody's a mess, pastors included, which is why we need Jesus. I'll give you an example. John Wesley, preacher in the 1700s in England, whom God used to convert thousands of people, he started the Methodist Church, he had a bad marriage. And he would go on these long preaching trips, and I don't think he or his wife minded the fact that they didn't see each other. In fact, eventually, they lived separate. Never got divorced, but they lived separately. You know, John Wesley had a bad marriage. Peter, the apostle, had a pride problem. Timothy probably had a timidity problem. But don't let the fact that you're messed up keep you from sharing the gospel, because God uses messed up people. Hallelujah. They're the only kind of people that exist. God used this woman. Last lesson is verse 42. And they, these people that got converted, were saying to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world." Here's the last lesson. You have to know Jesus for yourself. I hope you go to church, but I hope you don't go to church because your parents went to church and your grandparents went to church and it's kind of a cultural thing. No, no. I hope you go to church because you know you need Jesus yourself. I remember when a young adult woman of my church said to me, "Pastor Brock, I have never heard my mom or dad pray once." And her mom and dad were in my church every Sunday. I mean, is it possible to go to church, you know about Christ, this is your family heritage and tradition, but you don't know Christ yourself? Listen, you need Christ yourself. You need to know Him yourself. Trust in Him yourself. Pray to Him. Believe in Him. Because the fact that grandma believed will not save you. All right. Let's put it all together. Here is what we have learned from how God deals with the promiscuous. Jesus will talk to you. He'll talk to anybody. Jesus alone can quench your thirst. Your sin problem is not going to quench your thirst. And Jesus gets right to our sin because He wants us to be healed. Jesus wants real worship, not religion. Jesus uses women, and He wants you women to spread the gospel. Jesus uses messed up people. Hallelujah, that's everybody. And you have to know Jesus for yourself. I close with this. There was a philosopher by the name of Mortimer Adler, wrote a famous book, How to Read a Book. He was Jewish. Later in life, he converted to Christianity, and he wrote this. "Christianity is the only world religion that is evangelical in the sense of sharing good news with others. Islam converts by force, Buddhism without a benefit of theology, Hinduism doesn't even try. The religion on earth that shares good news, that tries to bring other people to Christ, is the Christian religion. Be that woman at the well this week, even if you're messed up, and let God use your mouth to share Christ with others. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study, where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question today, how do I know if I truly know Jesus Himself, rather than just know about Him?
I think of a friend of mine who, some years ago, and I don't know if he was a believer at this point, he said, "Tom, do you think you know Jesus personally?" And I said, "Yes," and I think he thought that was a kooky answer. And I think I explained, that doesn't mean I hear voices from heaven, but I know Him and that I pray to Him. I read the Bible. I'm part of His family, mm-hmm. the church, and I know Christ. He rules my life. I seek Him. So, yes, and if somebody's watching this show, if you trust in Christ, you pray to Him. But what if you never pray? It's possible to know. The devil knows all about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And it's possible to know the Christian truths, but never pray, never trust Him, never be part of His church. Those are the people that are in trouble.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there ever a time not to interact with a promiscuous person? Anything in the Bible about shunning?
Mm-hmm. When we hear shunning, we think of the Amish. Mm-hmm. But the Bible does talk in 1 Corinthians 5 about If somebody absolutely refuses to repent of sin, they're living in sin and they absolutely refuse to repent, and you've tried to talk to them, etc., Paul says don't even eat with that person anymore. And so, yes, there comes a time to say, look, and the church should do this more. You know, look, you won't repent. You can't take communion here. We're not to eat with you. We're not, you know. So, and sadly, the church doesn't do that much, but that's why the church is a mess.
So there comes a time.
There comes a time. It's called excommunication.
Jesus said we are not to judge others. So who are we to bring up someone else's sin?
Well, I think the most misquoted verse in the Bible is, judge not. Jesus said, judge not, lest ye be judged. I think that simply means don't think that you're superior to anybody else. We're all sinners. Don't think you're better than anybody else. But the same Jesus who said, judge not, said, why do you not judge with righteous judgment? So there is a time. And so, you know, the 1 Corinthians 5, what we just, you know, if somebody won't repent, you don't eat with them. So there, Jesus said, if your brother sins, rebuke him. The same Jesus who said, judge not, said that. And I think people use the judge not verse as a way of saying, don't talk to me about my sin. I judge not. Who do you think you are? You know,
right.
You got to do it humbly. I mean, the Bible says speak the truth in love in Ephesians. Not speak the truth with a sledgehammer, but speak the truth in love. So it's got to be done humbly. But, you know, Mona, I've had people come up and gently, lovingly correct me about a sin. They were doing the work of Christ by doing that.
It's a good thing.
They were caring for my soul. Yeah.
Where does the Bible say sex outside of marriage is wrong?
There's a number of places. I'll give you two. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul the Apostle says, don't be deceived. Do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Neither fornicators, that's sex outside of marriage, nor idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, thieves, greedy, robber, revilers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, Corinthians, but you were washed, you were forgiven, and now you're following Christ. So, and then the next chapter is even stronger, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where Paul says, because of sexual immorality and all the temptation, have your own spouse, because sex outside of marriage is wrong. So if you're living in sin right now, you need to repent. That's a big sin. Fornicators don't go to heaven. You don't want to go to the other place. 1 Corinthians 6 and 7.
Can you still go to church and be living with someone? I mean,
you can do it. It happens. In fact, I think I know of a church where the woman president of the council is living with her boyfriend. You can do it, but that doesn't mean she's going to heaven.
Who are the Samaritans?
The woman at the well was a Samaritan, and so follow this. The Jews were the pure race, more down in Judah, where Jerusalem is. North of there was an area called Samaria, where it was kind of a mixed race, the Jews intermingling with others. They had strange theological beliefs. They only believed in the first five books of the Bible, and it was kind of off. And there was a real rivalry. The Jews didn't like Samaritans. Samaritans didn't like Jews. But Jesus talked to her. Yeah.
Thank goodness, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't the Bible say that in Christ there is neither male nor female? So why can't women be pastors? Weren't women forbidden from preaching in the New Testament times because women were not educated back then? Hasn't the situation changed for today?
Well, you want to maintain that men and women are equal before God. God created us. We're equally valuable in His sight. If 1 Timothy 2 said, and here I'm quoting Paul, I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, for the culture doesn't educate women, and they therefore shouldn't. If he would have said that, I could be for women preachers. It's not what he said. Here's what he said. I don't allow a woman to teach. Why? For it was not the woman who was created first, the man was created first. And it was not the man who fell into deception, but the woman, Eve, fell into deception. He's talking about the way we're created. So, Mona, I can't have a baby. You can. Well, I'm not going to have a chip on my shoulder. Why can't I have a baby? You know, and women are not to preach over adult men. Women can teach women and children, but I think you can't use that as a way of getting rid of those verses. Women should not. I couldn't attend a church where the preacher was a woman.
If it's God's word, we just accept it.
Absolutely.
Some say that Apostle Paul's words are sexist and we should follow Jesus instead. Your thoughts on that?
Well, the Apostle Paul, who said women shouldn't preach over men, was following Jesus. Jesus chose 12 male apostles. He didn't choose six women and six men. He wanted the leadership of his church to be male. Mm-hmm. I don't think Jesus was sinning when he did that. So you can't really put a wedge between the Apostle Paul, who was chosen by Christ to write what he wrote, and Jesus himself.
That's right. If a person refuses to repent from sin, should they take communion? Shouldn't people repent before they expect God to use them?
I think if you're living in sin and not repentant, 1 Corinthians 11 you need to read, where you need to examine yourself before you take Holy Communion. Because some of the people were taking Holy Communion by getting drunk on it and not with the proper spirit. God was killing some of those people. Mm-hmm. So take communion. You know, if you're a sinner and you're sorry, take it. If you're a sinner and you're not sorry, don't.
Mm-hmm.
For your own sake.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. The woman at the well led others to Christ. What do I say to a person to lead them to Christ?
Yeah, just here's what I do. I said this on another show. Right before I came here to do the TV show today, I stopped at McDonald's. Mm-hmm. And I have learned to put a salvation tract in my pocket, even if I don't think I'm going to talk to anybody, and I had no intention to. But the woman sees this. Oh, are you a priest? I said, I'm a Lutheran pastor. Oh, do you preach? I said, I preach on TV. And I handed this to her because it gives our TV information, but more importantly, it gives the gospel. Mm-hmm. So one way to do it is by getting a bunch of pamphlets, salvation tracts. But the main thing you tell people is we're sinners. Christ died for our sins, rose from the dead. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. In a nutshell, that's what we preach, the cross and the resurrection for the salvation of all who will believe.
So it's nice to have some of those pamphlets available to hand out.
Because she couldn't have left the counter.
That's
so
true.
There you go.
Why should I believe anything the church teaches when a lot of the priests are pedophiles? I was a Catholic for most of my life. These are some questions from some viewers.
This woman was very angry, and she left a very angry phone message for me, thinking I'm a Catholic. I responded, I'm a Lutheran. Lutherans let their pastors get married. I think that would solve some of the problem with pedophilia. But I tried to make the point, we're all sinners, and you're not going to find a perfect church, and you're not perfect either, lady, because she was really angry. So I think that's the best we can do. Yeah.
Why should I believe in the Bible when the Catholic Church ripped out books that were originally in the Bible because those books taught reincarnation? The Gospel of Mary Magdalene was just as believed as the other Gospels until it was taken out. Taken out because she was a woman?
Same woman, very angry, absolutely untrue. The Catholic Church did not rip out certain books of the Bible because they taught reincarnation. No, they didn't. So just that was the Church set the Scripture because it was clear what was and what wasn't, or became clear. There you go.
Well, we're just about out of time. Thank you for joining us today. God bless you, and we'll see you next time on The Pastor's Study.
Thank you for watching The Pastor's Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor's Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.